I wonder if you were to be given a score for patience. So naught is not very good, 10 is absolutely brilliant. Where are you going to place yourself in that? And I'm tempted to actually ask people, no, I'm not going to, no. It is tempting. Patience. It's one thing that we all struggle for. And sometimes in different ways we get a little bit more patient, but sometimes we don't. Somebody has said, if you want to learn how to be patient, get yourself into some heavy traffic. Get yourself into a situation where people are cutting into your lane in front of you and holding things up and not moving when they should. Or get yourself into the supermarket queue and make sure it's the one that's moving slowly. Make sure it's the one that maybe just doesn't quite do everything right, and all the other queues around you are moving and you're sitting there thinking, why isn't this queue? How did I end up in this queue again? Maybe it's with people that we find difficult. That's where we learn patience, in all of those things. And perhaps in those situations, that's where we need to pray for patience. But very often, we pray that tongue-in-cheek prayer of, Lord, give me patience, but give it to me now. I don't want to wait for it. Patience. The passage which Rebecca read for us from Isaiah 48 is a passage that demonstrates for us again the amazing patience of God. The beginning of chapter 48, we read these words. This is God talking about his people. God talking about Israel and says, I knew how stubborn you were. The sinews of your neck were iron. Your forehead was bronze. That's his own people. The people that he had chosen, the people upon whom he had showered his love, the people who he had guided and protected. And now he looks at them and says, you are so stubborn. Eugene Peterson, in his paraphrase of the scriptures, takes this verse and says, you're a bunch of hardheads, obstinate and flint-faced. It's not terribly flattering language. And yet that was how God saw his people. Difficult. Verse 8, he goes on to say, well do I know how treacherous you are. You were called a rebel from birth. Stubborn, treacherous, rebellious. What would God do with people like that? What would you and I do with people like that? People that we meet and we think, you're just stubborn, you're treacherous, you're rebellion, we would keep our distance, at the very least. Well, nothing more to do with you. Thankfully, God does not treat us the way we treat each other. God looks at these stubborn, obstinate, rebellious, treacherous people and says this, verse 9, for my own name's sake, I delay my wrath. For the sake of my praise, I will hold it back from you so as not to cut you off. We would have understood God being angry and just wiping his hands of people. We would have understood if he had decided, look, I'm just going to start somewhere else again. But God decides, no. For the sake of his praise, for the sake of his glory, he's going to show these stubborn, treacherous, rebellious people amazing love, patient love. The prophet Habakkuk also prays for Israel. And in part of his prayer in Habakkuk chapter 3, he simply says, Lord, in your anger, remember mercy. In your anger, remember mercy. Isaiah must have thought that as he looked at the people and heard what God was saying about them. Lord, in your anger, in your understandable, in your righteous anger, remember mercy. And that is what God does. And so verse 20 of that chapter 48 of Isaiah, we simply read these words, leave Babylon, flee from the Babylonians. These people have been in exile, they've been oppressed, they've been badly treated by the Babylonians, and now God is saying, well, just leave. Go from Babylonia. Go back home again. You're free to go. But I want you to announce this with shouts of praise and joy. I want you to proclaim it. Send it out to the ends of the earth and say, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. So God's people are released. This stubborn, treacherous, rebellious people, God says, you know what? You can go back to your homes. You can go back to Jerusalem, which is so special. You can go back to being my people. And he shows them patient love. Patient love. Isn't it as well that God is unchanging in his patient love? When he looks at you and me, isn't it as well that God is patient? Isn't it as well that God is unfailing in his love for us? If we move through to the New Testament, there is this continuing theme of the fact that the Lord will come in judgment, the day of the Lord. And people wondered, well, if this day of the Lord is coming, why doesn't he just bring it on? Why doesn't God just put an end to all of this oppression? Why doesn't God put an end to this misery, to this wickedness, to this stubbornness? Why doesn't God just have his day? And Peter writes, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. So it's not God just hasn't got round to it. Peter says he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God could have wiped his people out, left them in Babylon, but he didn't. He showed them this patient love so that they could come back to him and be restored in their relationship with him. It might have seemed like a delay. It might have seemed like slowness. It wasn't indifference. It was God's patience in waiting for all to turn back to him. Peter goes on when he talks about God's patience to say, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. God is giving us this opportunity to return to him, to repent. Repentant. The people of Israel didn't need to tell God about their sin. He knew it already. He knew what they were like. You and I don't need to inform God of our sin either. God knows it already. Our need is to turn from that and to turn again to find his patient love shown to us in Jesus Christ. God showed that amazing patient love to his people. And as you read through all of the scriptures, you'll find God continually patiently bringing his people back, patiently loving his people, patiently showering them with his extravagant grace. And God hasn't changed. Patiently sends his son to the cross that our sins might be forgiven. Patiently sends his spirit into this world that as his spirit moves in us, we repent of our sin. God is still showing us patient love. But how will we respond? How do we react and respond to that patient love of God? That's our part, responding to his love. But patience is something that you and I will also have to work on. As you read through the fruit of the Spirit, it's one of the things that the Holy Spirit does in our lives is to make us more patient. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Patience is there. One of the signs that God is at work in our lives should be that fruit growing, that patience growing in us. So when we're with that person that we just find difficult, we show Christ-like patience. When we're in situations where we just wish things would move on quicker and move on the way we wanted to, we show that Christ-like patience because God is at work in us by His Holy Spirit. In these days, as we wait for the Lord to come again, may God help us to experience His patient love. And in that love, may we find freedom the way Israel did. Freedom because God has set us free. Forgiving our sin. Filling us with His Holy Spirit. Setting us where He wants us to be free for Him. May God grant us the grace not only to receive from God, but then patiently to share that grace with others around us. We're going to pray together, and then the band will lead us as we remember that faithful patience of God. Let's pray together. Father, you know what we are like. You know our impatience. And you know how often we get it wrong. And so, Lord, bowed here, we pray. We pray for two things, Lord. We pray for that fresh experience of your patient grace. But also we pray that we may be transformed to show that patience. So work in us, we pray, by your Holy Spirit. For you are the God who is faithful and unchanging. And in you, Lord, we rejoice. Amen.